deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 54, I had to think about that for a minute, of Flashpoint. We're back with a fairly Star Wars obsessed episode because there's been a lot going on over the last fortnight in both Star Wars The Old Republic and the wider Star Wars mega complex. So the two people who I love discussing this stuff with are here as always. Firstly, Simon, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm trying to mix it up. I think I usually end with you. So I'm just trying to be, you know, fair. Christy,
yeah,
how are you?
Breaking new ground, mate.
That's us, the groundbreakers. Christy, how are you?
I'm surviving. I've got a bit of a cold at the moment.
And a little birdie tells me you might be broadcasting from your new computer.
Yeah, I love her so much.
What's her name? Have we got a name?
Does have a name. It's kind of funny. I started calling her Optimus Primal from Beast Wars, but then Friday night I was out with friends and I came up with a better name and I can't remember it Saturday morning, so she's still Optimus Primal but possibly changing to a better name later.
There you go. And you, for those interested, do you want to, what's the spec of your computer?
Oh, I don't know if I can reveal that. People might
feel it.
Yeah, go, what the hell have you done, girl? So we'll just say that the graphics is a titan and pretty much everything else is overkill. So
nice. Excellent. Well, Simon and I will potter along in our shitty old computers. Actually, yes. Simon, yours isn't that old and shitty, is it?
Oh, I've decided I'm going to give it a name and I'm calling it Crashy.
Crashy.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, so as I said, we're going to start. Oh, sorry, before I get on to Star Wars, there's one critical point. It's been brought to my attention that I made a fatal and very offensive error in our 50th episode, and that's that I neglected to thank one of the most gregarious and witty people we've ever had on this podcast, and that's Mr. Mark. Whoa, Christy's left us. Oh, I'm bugger Christy. I'll add her in a minute. So, Mark, we love you. I'm sorry I missed you in the thank yous. It's been brought to my attention as well that I thanked Simon's vent server and not Mark. So,
especially since I don't have a vent server.
Oh, is it TeamSpeak?
It's Typefrag, but it's Mumble. But
oh, Mumble.
Yes, Mark, you are missed. We miss you.
But not enough to remember you to thank you.
No, fuck that.
But yeah, Mark and I had the pleasure of catching up face to face in the past week with our ever faithful listener Gail, and a couple of other great people. So it's not. I mean, Mark did sort of threaten me with a knife over the lack of thanking him on the 50th, but otherwise he was very gracious about it. And we're going to pause right here and go to Republic News.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
Rise of the Hutt Cartel. It's getting damn close. In fact, I just realised it'll be going live on our off week, which is probably good for all three of us on here in that we can do some levelling. And from talking before the show, I think all of us have been... before we get on to Rise of the Hutt Cartel, we've all been pretty much frantically levelling on the last of the double experience points weekends in Star Wars The Old Republic. Starting with you, Simon, what have you been doing?
Well, contrary to logic, I actually decided to start a new character on the Harbinger.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted to just have a quick look and see what the lag was like and what sort of performance issues. Because that, I mean, that server is probably the busiest one on the West Coast, and on a double XP weekend, you can imagine that it'd get pretty nutty. Mm. And so there I was, standing, staring in on Korriban, and I think there was about 224 other people on there. I didn't even check to see how many shards there were, but I was just watching all of everyone running around and thinking, "Wow, this is what a populated server looks like." Because I'd forgotten. I really had. I thought Gav Darragon really isn't. It's not too bad. But it looks like a freaking ghost town after that. But it didn't do too badly. I was getting like somewhere between 190 to 220 as far as the lag. So that's quite workable. It's better than I used to get on WoW, actually.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I now have a level 27 Sith Sorcerer.
Oh.
On that server, because I just kept going with the storyline, and he's about halfway up the crafting tree as well. So it went a bit further than I expected. I did do some leveling on my much neglected bounty hunter, who had been stuck on Hoth for, I think, oh God, he's probably going on for a year. Because I just got bored with the storyline.
Yeah.
And after playing him most of today and getting him up a few levels, I'm still bored with the storyline. But there we go. That's what you get. But he's mid-40s now, so that's not too far to catch up with him on. And, yeah, also created a sort of a temporary tune on Dalbora. Because there was going to be, at the time of recording, the protest event.
That's a good point. Actually, we might, before I jump over to you, Christy, we might talk about that. So it ends about now, doesn't it? It was 5 p.m. till 9 p.m.
Yeah.
There was an event where they're getting people to log on, create a new character, level it up to level 10, and essentially as proof to BioWare that there is still a good population on Dalbora. So I'm not sure how that went. I admit I forgot about that until I was preparing for the show. I thought, oh, I should have logged in for that.
I don't know that it went terribly well. I mean, that would be up to Scorpio and the other guys on the Big D to comment on. So I haven't got a good idea overall. What I do know is when I logged out of Gav to go on Dalbora, obviously you see the population or the loading on the servers. Gav Darragon was well and truly heavy. As not no surprises, Master Dalbora, or was it Dalnara?
Oh, yeah.
The PvP, the ghost town, was light, and Dalbora was only standard.
Okay.
So despite the fact that they were trying to get as many people to go on there as possible, more people were banging around Gav Darragon doing their own thing than
on Dalbora.
At least that's the way it looks, just superficially.
Yeah, and I should say for those our more casual Star Wars players that do listen to the podcast, there's server mergers have been foisted upon us. We talked about them last episode. Essentially, we're all being moved over to US servers. A lot of people quite rightly aren't happy about it and saying, well, why couldn't they merge the three into the one? And it appears it's just purely a cash grab as far as they're not going to put the money into maintaining one server only locally, because no one's sort of denying that and all coming up with any other reasons why they couldn't do that. So,
yeah, well, I don't know how much of a big deal the whole playing style would be, because, like I say, PvP servers for the most part in all three playing areas seem to be pretty dead. Most people who are into PvP have probably moved on or changed the focus of their gameplay. Merging RPPVE and PvE servers, I don't think would be a big hit for anybody.
No.
because there's a mixture of communities on both. So, yeah, I think it probably would work, although I have heard that the peak traffic on the Australian servers doesn't even equal the off-peak traffic on any of the West Coast servers. Now, whether that's an aggregated total or not, I don't know. Probably not. But, yeah, it's I think part of the real problem isn't for people like me who are in East Coast major metropolitan areas. It's people who are out in, you know, Perth or in more remote or distant areas from the East Coast internet hubs. They're the ones who are going to feel the pinch of additional lag more than people like me will. And hopefully things will sort of work themselves out, but we'll just have to wait and see.
If only we had a co-host that lived further away from the eastern seaboard that could comment on that.
Who could that be?
Yeah,
unfortunately, Perth, we had a whole continent to go across and then the ocean as well. So, but I played on the American servers back when the game first came out. I was going to say I played with American friends, but they didn't have Aussie servers when it first came out. So, but yeah, the lag for Star Wars, it's not as bad as some MMOs, but it's, I mean, you know, it's still America. There's no way you can get rid of it. You know, I've got a proxy server and service and all that sort of stuff, but there's always going to be lag. It's just because we're so physically far away. But yeah, I'm disappointed considering that we had to wait for the official release in Australia, you know, and they threw the servers at us as a hey, aren't we good guys? And yeah, I can understand that, you know, it's not the first company to give us Aussie servers and then take them away later on because of population drop, but I think this is more failure on their side though, like, than on us, you know. The Absolutely. Star Wars wasn't as popular as they thought it was going to be, and they, you know, haven't done a lot to get people back playing it. So, you know, it's kind of us Aussies to sort of sit back and go, same old deal. But yeah, I think this is definitely more a reflection on them than on us.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. So, and so Christy, what, and you've been playing a bit too at the Double XP weekends?
I have indeed. I've been playing my little Sith Warrior. She's 36 now. Okay. Unfortunately, this weekend I had social events and then I was sick. So I spent most of today asleep. But I have all this time now. So I'm going to be leveling up hard this week so I can be 50 for the launch.
Okay. So that'll be your main one to keep leveling once Rise of the Hutt Cartel hits.
Yeah, it will. I'm quite liking her. I don't know. I'm kind of torn between the Sith and the Jedi. I mean, as long as I got a lightsaber, I'm happy. But yeah, I'm liking her, and I like the ship, and I like her companions. So,
well, this is another roll your eyes noob moment, but I didn't realize. So I've been leveling my trooper, which is he's all of 21, but that's good for me, given what he was, and I got his ship, and I didn't realize that each class had a different type of ship.
Oh, you are kidding me.
I had not, because I ran into the ship and I'm going, hold on, where's the bridge? And where's, I don't understand, everything's all round wrong. What's going on? I thought, oh, each one gets a different ship. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's, I mean, it makes sense when you think about it. It never occurred to me because I'd only had the one character I've got to 50 and nothing else had got to having a ship level.
Well, in fairness to you, not every class has its own ship.
Okay.
The Sith Warrior and the Lightning guy share the same one, and the Consular and the Knight share the same ship.
Okay. I
have noticed that the ship robot is in a slightly different place between the Inquisitor and the Warrior's ship.
Oh, really?
There we go. There's a little detail for you.
See, that's attention to detail. I just hate the trooper ship. It's the shittest layout. Like, you couldn't build a worse layout for a ship. I should get Ed on to comment about that.
It's like someone stuck an engine on the back of a slab of VB.
That's terrible.
It's not a great ship.
And just finding the Brit, like, anyway, I won't start. But yeah, that's.
I have a Millennium Falcon.
Sort of. I suppose. I like my Bounty Hunter ship. I've got some warm fuzzies going back to the Bounty Hunter class.
There you go. So that's all our playing. And then with Rise of the Hutt Cartel, as much as I put it on our running sheet to talk about tonight, there's not really a lot to talk about in that it's coming next week. There's been no huge announcements. I mean, the expansion itself's been pretty much talked to death and we know what's coming. So is there anything really worth discussing about it?
Well, Christy, do you want to go first? Because I've been babbling.
Yeah, Christy, you go first.
I don't really have much to add besides I'm looking forward to turning my character into a lesbian. So I'm hoping there's lots of opportunities there.
Yeah.
She's an imp, so yeah.
Don't take away my lesbians.
No, well, I'm not going to. There was a bit of a buzz going around that the Empire's gay and the Republic's lesbian. Because but that's not actually true. On Macab there is only one way to swing, depending on which faction you're on. But within the expansion, there are other opportunities. So you will get your shot. Don't you worry. there are other quest lines in there as well. There's the I'm not sure where the other same gender romance options are, but it's it'll be in the Shroud or the Seeker Droid or what's the other one. Never mind. Oh, macro binoculars. It's somewhere in there. Somewhere in there. You both sides, both genders get a shot. So it's not the gay planet that was perhaps hinted at, but it's you do have some time, some opportunities to play.
There you go.
I'll be capturing it all anyway, so I'll put it on YouTube. So I'm going to have a bit of lesbian porn.
well, Fate of Black porn, yes.
Yeah. That's what we need, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got to leave something to the imagination.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe the two boys just agreed with that. All right.
So, but as far as things to talk about, I think there probably are a couple of things to mention, if only just warnings. First one being if you're level 50 or hit 50 before 2.0 hits, get your T&E's gear pronto because that will be disappearing once the update hits because they're rejigging all of the level 50 PvP stuff.
Okay. I'm sure everyone will have it. I mean, even I've got the T&E's gear now, so I can't imagine there's anyone slower than me.
Well, yeah, but it depends what characters, what other tunes you've got that you're leveling up. So it's just something to bear in mind. Also, your planetary commendations are going to be unified into a single currency as well. So if you've got, I think the cutoff is 100.
So if you've got say 500 and you haven't spent them, you need to spend them now, otherwise.
You need to get it under 100, otherwise anything over 100 will just vanish.
Oh, bloody hell.
But bearing in mind that the number of planetary commendations you get, say, for stuff from Korriban or Ord Mantell is going to be – obviously the exchange rate is going to be a lot lower than it will be for commendations from Hoth or Corellia. Someone has actually done a calculator for that on another podcast. I might actually I'll send you the link for that, David. And if you go to the show notes for the for this podcast, I'll get a link so you can punch in whatever commendations you've got, and you'll get an idea what you'll get in the new currency. So that's just it's a bit of house cleaning you need to do before 2.0 hits, but I think it's worth bearing in mind because it could catch some people unawares.
So based on that, you'd be better off getting rid of all your lower planet ones now, say, having 100 of the higher planet ones and getting a better conversion.
I think that is the case, yes, because I can't. There was there was a specific example I heard where buying something in the old currency is at, it actually works out cheaper than it would in the new one.
Okay.
So yeah, it's as much as you can. It's probably worth just having a look in what you've got, and a bit like you have to do with your inventory every now and then, just sort through it. Have a look, take stock, and just clear the decks a bit. If nothing else, it's just a good thing to do just to tidy up before you start hitting all the new content.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to stock up on sugar and caffeine this week.
Yeah, I could say I haven't looked at it for a while, so early access would start...
On the 9th.
Yeah, on the 9th, yeah, so it's not far. Well, it's 2 days.
Oh, dear.
So I'm going to go back to my bloody simpering goody-two-shoes consular and start leveling. I'm not excited by that.
Your consular and my Jedi Knight need to meet because he's a complete D-bag.
Oh, see, that's what he was. And it's just so much more the fun story. My troopers a Republic trooper, but on the dark side points very much in every response, and it's so much more fun.
Well, I don't know. Do you find that when you create a character, sometimes they just sort of tend to go in a particular direction? Because I did a consular and then lost interest, and he was actually a very honourable character, but this guy has just turned out to be a complete shit.
See, that's
how I do it. Like my Sith warrior is actually a goody goody two shoes, and they're all like, "Oh my god, they can see the light side in you," and I'm like, "Sweet,
you're sick. You are so sick."
Absolutely.
I must admit, though, yeah, with the Jedi, I tend to go dark side because I like the appearance change when you get all corrupted.
Oh right, that
the facial varicose veins.
Yeah. It's so ugly, but it's so cute.
That robot's really beginning to annoy me, though. He's so cute and sweet and innocent and nice, and I just want to put him into a trash compactor.
Which is probably a nice segue to the Star Wars universe more widely, and the second key point we're going to talk about tonight, which was the fact that LucasArts has had a bullet or lightsaber put it through its guts, and it's now no longer. Well, I assume it's physically finished now, at least if it hasn't in the next few weeks.
The company or the division still exists and will remain.
They're just downsizing it.
They're
outsourcing. Yeah,
they're a licensing company now, as opposed to having always been a licensing company, but they've lost, basically LucasArts has lost its development studio.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's some big ramifications there in the short term, at least with two games totally shelved, one being the Star Wars 1313 and the other one's name escaping me.
Yeah, well, 1313 is the one that's had most people nerd raging.
Yeah. Yeah, because it looked pretty as.
It did. It did look very impressive.
So there you go. There's the second conversation point. LucasArts closed. So what are the ramifications? I mean, they're going to outsource. So, I mean, a lot of the comments I read was people saying, well, actually it could be a good thing for Star Wars games in that you might get a little bit more variety and some more cutting-edge developers working on it.
Well, it's good for us. It's good for people in the tool world because we fit into the model.
Well, that's true.
And EA is very happy with, insofar as you can discern these things, BioWare is the other go-to guys for MMOs as far as EA are concerned. So that's a good thing. And obviously, the fact that we're apparently the second biggest subscription MMO in the West is also a good sign. Ooh. So,
wow.
So, according to James Olin, who lets these things sort of drop, and then the PR people have to sort of run around screaming. But so that's I mean, we're sitting pretty well at this point, I think, as far as that goes. As far as the whole licensing thing goes, that's just business as usual, really. Although we've all got very fond memories of LucasArts, I know I do. Yeah. I've still got all my game discs. I've still got Dark Forces and what is it, Yoda Tales?
I didn't do that one.
No, okay. Well, it's pretty stupid and shitty game, but I mean, I even remember Ball Blazer and Rescue on Fractalus, which was before LucasArts existed. That was Lucasfilm Games back in the day. So had that on my old Atari.
I was going to say, I played LucasArts stuff on a Super Nintendo and loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, they did some awesome stuff back in the day. But then they've been licensing stuff, the IP, out to other companies for a very long time. I've mentioned periodically that I would dearly love them to revisit TIE Fighter.
Yeah.
Because I loved that game. That had a really good story, and I just loved the whole space sim. But they didn't develop it. They didn't develop X-Wing versus TIE Fighter either.
No, true.
There's a lot of games that we think of fondly they did not do. And to give credit where credit's due, a company called Totally Games did both of those. So, yeah, this has been going on for a long time. LucasArts have produced, you know, Monkey Island and the sequel. They didn't do Battlefront, any of them. That was all done by external studios. Rogue Squadron. I don't know if you remember Rogue Squadron for the GameCube. I remember looking at that quite enviously when I was wandering around Myers going, oh, that looks great. And then it wasn't available on anything but the GameCube, which was a little irritating, although they did do a port to PC sometime later. But again, that was done by a company called Factor 5, I think. So, and obviously Galaxies, that was done by SOE.
Yeah.
Jedi Knight and Jedi Knight Academy, that was Ravensoft.
So, I mean, yeah, the point is it's not really a big change.
Yeah, it's not really a massive change. I mean, it's like a lot of things. It digs at the heart of our nostalgia. We're going, yeah. Oh, LucasArts, that's part of my childhood, man. But the truth is that the in-house devs, yes, they did do some really some great games back in the day, but they
not recently.
Fracture, I think, was one of the most recent things, and boy, that thing went down like a Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think you're right. It's about the nostalgia, and suppose it's all seen through the prism of Disney taking over and so on. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a certain amount of hate going in that direction. I mean, because I only found out about it when James told me. Hi, James. And I have to admit, I felt like I've been punched in the stomach. I just had very, very visceral emotional reactions to it, which is where my old friend Vodka comes in handy. But after I had time to think about it a little bit more clearly, I thought, yeah, it is a shame. And there's 150 people approximately, people who have lost their current positions. And that's always horrible when people lose their jobs. As far as the overall IP goes, yes, 1313 looked great from what we'd seen, but I don't think anyone had actually gotten to play it.
No.
So it's hard to quantify what we actually lost. And now I'll throw to Christy.
Yes, I'm about to say.
Huh? What?
I've finished talking now, sorry.
Oh, it's all good. If you didn't talk, it'd be a bloody short podcast.
This is very true. Oh. Yeah.
No, that wasn't a go at Christy. Sure that was a go at, that. No, that was a go at me.
Oh, okay.
You mean this whole long running sheet we've got to get through today?
Yeah, so before the show, for those listening, I sent around a running sheet which consisted of 2 points, which was Rise of the Hutt Cartel and LucasArts. So, Christy, what's your take?
I'm sad. I'm very, very sad. It's never good. It seems with development companies, things seem to be going down more than up. But, I mean, obviously that's just a perception thing. But, yeah, I never like to see it. You know, I want more computer games, so I want people out there making computer games. I'm sure the employees will get nabbed up pretty quickly. There's lots of opportunities out there. And there's a heap of big kickstart projects on the way as well. Mm. Like that one that just got funded, and yeah, they're in the millions of dollars, so maybe they can hire a few people. But yeah, that's pretty much it from my point. Obviously we'll see what happens, so hopefully good will come out of it.
He is hoping.
I am always optimistic.
Yeah, it's good to be optimistic. So that's LucasArts. So that's probably all the Star Wars stuff. So I suppose we might just have a brief chat through other things. So Secret World, and for those of you that listen that are quite into Secret World, don't be concerned that we're covering less and less in the podcast. It's more that it's not even going through a lull. It's just going through a successful phase with regular content, but there's not a hell of a lot to talk about.
Unless we're giving play tips, which, let's face it, given our general level of ignorance, is something we usually do.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
And plus, I think it's fair to say the last fortnight we have all been very much using the double XP weekends in Star Wars, so I know I've only played, I think, all of half an hour in Secret World in the last fortnight.
Yeah, I've been Star Wars-ing, and then, of course, there's Tomb Raider and Bioshock and DMC, and I've been playing around with my capturing and my live streaming. So, sorry, Secret World, I still love you.
So do I, but I haven't even picked up BioWare and Infinity.
Bioshock.
Oh dear Lord! They start with the same three letters.
They do.
It's easily explained. I haven't even picked that up from EB yet. I daren't, because between Defiance and the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Who has the time?
Well, I nearly bloody downloaded Defiance. I came this close and I thought, no, I just can't do it. Just too much. Yeah, you're right. It's just a time issue.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got all the time in the world right now. All the time in the world. I should be playing so much. But it's this horrible thing about being an adult. You know, you don't realize how much time you spend doing chores and running after cats and things like that. That's
true, especially when they walk on your computer and turn it off. Stop paying enough attention to them.
That's true. And I mean, when you get to Simon's at my age, it's just sitting in the chair for too many hours hurts your back.
Yeah, and the arthritis in your fingers. It's terrible.
This is why my controller has a really long cable, so I can lie in the bed.
Yeah, the lying and playing is okay. I do that on the laptop, but it's a trackpad and MMOs don't tend to go that well together. That's probably one of the reasons I suck so badly.
I can't do that. If I lay down and play a game, I fall asleep and wake up and think it's 1950, and then there's the whole disorientation thing going on.
Oh, funny. You should make a film of that.
Yeah, maybe. But I did jump onto Defiance probably for about 15 minutes after I finished with the Old Republic and before this, and just decided I'd see how far I could drive. And I made it all the way to the ruins of the Golden Gate Bridge, and I just crested this rise and saw the part of the bridge I could actually cross over from Marin County into San Francisco proper, and I was just, what the fuck is that? There's just this enormous thing, and it blew the crap out of me.
You're making me want to download.
Sorry.
I just brought like 10 games off GOG as well. Sorry.
You should just be thankful it's not a Steam sale weekend or something, because that's...
Oh, yes, thank you, Steam, for not having an Easter sale. I would have killed you.
And the other one too we regularly talk about is Marvel Heroes. So it's still, we can't talk about it really, but it's still going through beta.
Yeah.
I think I'm not breaching anything by saying I've not played it at all. So I just can't be asked downloading the updates, to be honest.
They are huge, aren't they? Yeah. That is what I seem to spend most of my time doing is patching and migrating. And When I've been able to get into the game very briefly, it's great.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a great game.
Once you get past the patching, it'll be awesome.
And still not a hint that I'm aware of a release date, so I don't know.
No, I think they're introducing new costumes, and I mean, I can say that because that's in the emails they send to everybody. So,
see, I was wondering about those emails, whether they just went to beta testers or everyone.
Well, they haven't stipulated one way or the other. So I'm just saying that.
Yeah, I thought everyone.
Yeah.
So you're right, new costumes and characters and all that sort of stuff. So it's still looking good.
Yeah. So the content keeps expanding. So and I think that game is going to. I mean, once they get past the launch issues, which every game has, yes, even Defiance has had a few glitches. God, I love the Icelandic sense of humour, though.
Do elaborate.
No, I'm just going to let that sit there.
Okay.
No, I will. like any new game, Defiance has had a few glitches, especially as far as the Xbox goes, because it's PC, Xbox, PS3. So it's a multi-platform game. And the updates from the lead developer, they've been very whimsical and tongue-in-cheek, but also very informative. And Trion's been very good at just keeping everybody up to date with what's going on from their perspective and what they're doing about it. And you just read the comments that follow these blog posts that he's making, and it's just wonderful to read, because you're so used to jumping on the internet and people are flaming and they're raging and they're trolling, and the comments that follow these things are all saying, I was upset, but after reading this, I feel so much better. And they're so positive. And I have to admit, I'm still impressed with the way Trion implement things. Even though I didn't get into Rift too heavily, I still think that there's a lot to recommend that game. And I've always been very impressed with the way they add things, the rate at which they make content updates and how substantial those content updates are. And just the way they manage things in general, they still have the same trials and tribulations that a lot of other game manufacturers do, but they seem to handle it with so much.
They deal with it well, yeah.
Yeah, they do deal with it well, exactly.
So, yeah, big thumbs up for Trion. Now I just want to download that bastard, but anyway.
Wait until the TV shows start screening, and because I'm really interested to see how the two intertwine and how they interact with each. It's going to be very interesting. Very much like I wish that Underworld, the Star Wars live action show and the game, how that was originally going to interact with each other, and then of course that got dumped, but. This is 2.0, I suppose.
Yeah. Exciting times, really.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Marvel Heroes comes out next month.
Oh, that's right. They did announce it.
They announced it at PAX.
Didn't they? I've forgotten about that.
Yeah, because you know what? I even covered that. I'm sure I wrote a story on that.
Yeah, that's
everything.
Where I read it.
Bloody hell.
But yeah, early start is May 28th and official launch is June 4th. So a little bit longer than month for normal people.
So for anyone that was screaming on the podcast for the last 5 minutes, I apologise. Yeah.
No, don't apologise. Regret nothing, damn it.
No, that's right.
So, I got my Iron Man movie star pack, so I'm looking forward to, being all Iron Man-y.
Yeah. Oh, I've got David and I have got every costume, and I know for a fact I'm just going to be wandering around as Pirate Deadpool for the entire game. So really, the money I spent is more sort of a contribution to Stephen Reed's retirement fund.
Yeah. Agreed. And
now I'm looking forward to the Iron Man 3 movie as well.
Rock and Avengers 2 sounds like it's really shaping up.
Oh, yes. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, I went and saw Jurassic Park 3D yesterday and they had the Iron Man 3 trailer and I'm in 3D. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, it should be good.
And the new Star Wars film, I just can't wait. Oh, and that reminds me, anyone that's railing about some of the stuff that's been appearing in the cartel store, specifically the covert boots where basically you've got bare feet and the loungewear chest piece where it looks like you've got a leather jacket wrapped around your waist and a bare chest. If you're going, that's not Star Wars, all I can say to you people is, hello, metal bikini.
That's right.
I must admit, I want to get
S&M.
I want to get social too because they've got the very skimpy dancer outfit, which is very Star Wars. We've
I
all
want
seen
you to get
people in it.
Too as well.
I need some friends. I mean, social too is not hard to get. You just need to actually play with people.
Yeah, that's the downside of it. Yeah,
yeah, that's annoying. Although I got to admit, for my bounty hunter, I ended up buying some more cartel coins. Yes, I do. I do periodically get the scratchies. I don't regret it this time because I got the luxury barge, sail barge thing.
Oh, yep.
So I've put my bounty hunter in the leather jacket wrapped around his waist, bare chest thing, which suits it perfectly because he's reclining and he's got a bowl of fruit there. And I just kept
making that's good
of the fleet, and perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, I agree. You need to be sending screenshots of that. That's gold.
I'll capture it. Put it on YouTube. Yeah. I'd totally watch that.
So
tempt me. I might start.
I'll capture it for you. I'll follow you around and
I'll stream the whole thing through Twitch. How's that?
That sounds good.
Of the space station.
Excellent. Well, that was a bit of a wide ranging last discussion. I was even thinking of bringing up. I've been debating all weekend about setting up a Kickstarter to fund me setting up a comic shop. Just a
problem with that.
Yeah, like I was thinking and I'm not going to do it because I still wouldn't get enough money. But you're trying to raise 20 or 30 grand to set up a shop, and then anyone that provides a Kickstarter gets 20% discount on all their purchases for the first year or something.
Oh, would you have a postal service?
Postal, mail order, you name it.
I couldn't support you. There's too much money going towards Comixology from me. I need nothing else.
Yeah, I know. That's the downside of setting up a physical shop because there's so much good digital stuff now. So anyway, that's just my dream, but we won't go there. We'll probably call it quits there. So I think it's safe to say we're going to be back in a fortnight with a big post-mortem on Rise of the Hutt, or maybe not. We'll talk about that after. So I heard an arm. So we might
I'm just at a land. So, I mean, I might be home, but
all right, we'll play it by ear and we'll work that out after the show. But assume that we'll be back sometime not long after the launch. A Rise of the Hutt Cartel. Maybe we'll do it next weekend. Because we're all got early access, I believe.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. But I'm definitely going to be throwing myself in there because I got a taste of the expansion, but I didn't want to end up blowing it too much because I know that the story is good, and it's focused. Unlike so much of the class story that we've previously experienced because of all of the, you know, how do you tell what's important when everything is spoken?
That's right. So, yeah, that could be an improvement.
Everything gets lost in the noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going in with my dunce hat on. I've been avoiding, hearing the minimum possible. So it's all going to be very, very shiny and new for me.
Yeah, it should be fun.
I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Unless I can't be a lesbian, then yes, I will be disappointed. I have to roll a Jedi then, and then it'll be like another year before I can. They're going to have double XP weekends again, right?
Before the next expansion, most likely, yeah.
So 2 years?
I don't think it'll be that long.
No, I'd say they'll be quicker.
Not from what, what's his name, Jeff, what's his face?
Hickman,
that's it, yeah. Not from what he was saying, because they're already thinking about what's coming in the next expansion. And although they won't be introducing any new classes, he did let that lovely little gem drop about other MMOs introducing new classes without starting right at the beginning.
So Death Knights.
Uh-huh. Wouldn't that be – wouldn't that's? I'll just leave you with that. I want your imagination to run right about how would something like a Death Knight be implemented in SWTOR. Because I think that's – ooh.
Look at that pause.
That was a pause. That was.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to call it quits there. Thanks for listening, as always. If you want to drop us a line, and I think I put this out last time and we were inundated with questions to be put to this wonderful panel, don't hesitate to email us at contact@oceanicgamer.com. Had to think about that for a minute. Or facebook.com/TheOceanicGamer. Same for Twitter.
What about the other email address? Desperately craving attention.
Yes.
At oceanicgamer.com.
Yes. Please email us for once at oceanicgamer.com.
Just give us something.
Because we know I have evil stats at track. We know we have many hundreds of listeners. Please. Well, unless they just all download it and delete it to be polite.
That could be
and don't
possible.
Actually listen to it.
Can we create a throwmeabone@oceanicgamer.com?
We could do any. I don't know whether I've got a catch all set up. I don't think I do. So preferably
nice. I need validation.
Yeah, that's right. Contact.
I just spent lots of money on this computer. I need to do something with it.
Yes, and we'll also all three of us are still on schedule for being at PAX Oz, which we're all very much looking forward to. So excited!
I'm now the proud owner of a boom microphone.
Oh.
Thanks to eBay and vodka.
Joe Vodka, it's everyone's
friend.
Is this
like a 2 a.m., a little bit of drinking, a bit of eBaying?
Yeah, and I'm happy about it because when I finally got the thing delivered, when it finally arrived here and I had a look at it and worked out what the microphone was, it's to buy it new, it's about $600.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
And for that, and for the because it's a shotgun mic, and for that, well, and the boom, I ended up paying about $160.
Oh,
so it was a win-win. So now I'm probably going to end up having to take that to PAX Oz, so I can at least have some excuse to use it.
Yeah. Well, at least you're local, so you can just have to put it into a plane.
Right.
See, all I did last time when I was drunk and shopping was buy caddies that move with your emotions. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
I know. I'm so sad.
I can't comment.
No.
Sorry, Dave. I've interrupted you.
No, it's all good. Well, I was just wrapping up. So we're going, gone, and we'll be back sometime between 1 and 3 weeks. Depending on how we go with the expansion. And until then, enjoy playing.
See ya.
Bye.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.